praise God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God, we thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we thank God for that sermonic solo. In the name of Jesus, because it does match the title of my message, The Price Paid for Our Souls. With your Bibles in your hand, repeat after me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am not only a hearer of the word, but a doer of the word. My life will never be the same after hearing the word of God. For faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. In Jesus' name, amen. We can go to our scripture text, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Ah, thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. And if you all have it, say amen. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, God, for the fact that you paid and redeemed us from the curse of the law. We thank you that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Lord, we thank you today that we are here able to celebrate Resurrection Day. You did not stay in the grave. Lord, when you think about the different prophets that are out there and people are false prophets, their bones are yet in the grave. But when we go to the gravesite of Jesus, there is no body there. We thank you because you rose from the dead. And we give you the praise. We give you the glory. We give you the honor in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you. Had you not been on our side, where would we be? We give you the glory. We give you the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. And let God. People say amen, 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 and amen. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. I would like to use as a theme this morning is that the price paid for your soul. The price paid for your soul. And I'm included in that. I'm just using your, but I'm included. The price paid for your soul. I would like to just to define a few words. The word price is the amount of money asked or given for something. It is the cost at which something is obtained. Now, paid means to bear the cost of or suffer the consequences of. Now, the word soul is a human being, a person. The principal life is where our feelings, our thoughts, and our emotions, and our actions is involved in our soul. The spiritual part of humans as the distinct from the physical part. In other words, we are a spirit, we have a body, and we are housed in our body. And our soul is housed in that body. In other words, we are triune. We are Trinity. We are body, soul, and spirit. Just like God the Father is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We are a tripartite being. So therefore, God wants us not only just to glorify him in our bodies, but in our bodies and spirit. He wants the whole man. He wants us to glorify him, body, soul, and spirit. There are some people that are teaching today that your spirit gets saved, but your soul is not required of nothing. But that's a lie from the pits of hell. When Jesus saved us, he wants us to be saved and wants our whole body, soul, and spirit to be found blameless until the day of salvation. Amen? Amen? So, In the real world, people are willing to pay whatever it costs to obtain things they want or for the things they want done to others. That's in the real world. If you desire a luxury car and you're determined that you want that Mercedes, you want that, a Bentley. There are some people that are willing to pay the price for a Bentley and a Mercedes Benz and don't even have an apartment to live in. Because they want status. They want to look like they're somebody. But how many of you know that if you have Christ, you are somebody? When we have Jesus Christ, we are somebody. Simply because we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We are somebody. We've been washed in the blood. Hallelujah. We have a new name. New name written in heaven. A new name. So we have to realize that there are people that are willing to pay for luxury and then have to sleep in it. Live in it. But then on the other hand, there are people that will pay any price to have a contract put on anyone. If they have hatred towards them, if the person have wronged them, they'll put a contract out on them like it's nothing. I watch Dateline. I don't know if any of you watch Dateline. It deals with investigation and murders. And I watched it one time, and the one show that I saw was a grandmother that was trying to get a contract out on her son and his children, which would be her grandchildren. And she met with the hitman. And the hitman said, well, how much you going to give me? How much you going to give me for that contract? And it was somewhere around between $1,000 and $3,000. Oh, that's the value she put on the lives of her son and her grandchildren. And so he said to her, ma'am, are you sure you want to do this? And she says, yes, I want them out of my life. I can't stand them. I want it done. But the thing about it, he was not a person that was a hitman. He was a police officer. So when it was all said and done, she ended up in jail, I believe for life or for a long time, because of the fact that she wanted to get rid of her son and grandchildren. Now, somebody could say, or some would dare say, that Jesus had a contract on his life. But we know that he didn't have a contract. I mean, the fact that he was betrayed for 30 pieces of silver, and 30 pieces of silver was the cost of the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. One might say that he had a contract out on his life, but I'm here to tell you he sacrificed his life. As we heard on Friday night, it was the ultimate sacrifice. He said, nobody takes my life. He said, I could lay it down. He could have called legions of angels and wiped everybody out. Said, you don't take my life, I give it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give my life. And the fact that he gave his life for us, something is due on our end. He has already done his part. Now it's time for us to do our part. Jesus paid it all. And all to him, all to him, all to him we owe. We want to give him part of our lives. We give him part of the things that are in our hearts. Some doors and some rooms in our hearts we close. We say, Lord, you can't have that, but you could have this. But God said, I want all of you. If he can't have all of you, he doesn't need none of you. If he can't have all of you, Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. It says sin has left a crimson stain,
But he washes. He washes. He washes. He washes white as snow. I don't care what you have done in life. I don't care how much sin you have committed. The minute you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you become the righteousness of God. And you have to remember who you are in Christ. You have to remember that Jesus became poor that we might become rich. Yes. Hallelujah. 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 He took on our sins. We know that in the Old Testament that they used to sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. And only the high priest could enter the most holy of holies. And today we have access to the most holy of holies by the blood of Jesus. We can now enter in. We can now walk in. We can now come in and bow down at his feet. Do you realize the authority and the power that you have? You now have access to go into the most holy of holies, where at that time only the high priest could go. And what was so unique about the fact is that when the high priest was preparing to go into the holy of holies, he had to make sure he atoned for himself his sins. And the thing about it, when he went into the most holy of holies, he would have a robe on, and around the bottom of the robe would have pomegranates and bells. And then he had a long sachet belt. And the reason for the long belt was because of the fact that if there was sin in his life, he was going to die instantly. And Hebrews tell us that there were many, many priests. And the reason why there were many, because many would go in to atone for the sins of the people, and they died. And because of the long belt and the sash that he had around him, it was for the purpose of the next priest that was going to go in to pull them out. Because only the high priest was able to go before the Holy of Holies. But don't you know we are priests and we are kings today? If you believe in Jesus Christ and his burial, his resurrection, you are a high priest. We are kings. We are priests. You have to know who you are. We are a peculiar people, not peculiar in the aspect of being strange, but God said we are a peculiar people that we should show forth his praises. Sometimes we don't even want to show forth his praises. We have to pull you to praise him. But if you're peculiar, my God, nobody have to beg you. Nobody have to conjure you up. Nobody have to pump you up. Because you're peculiar, you're willing to praise him for the work that he has done on the cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe. Hallelujah. Give him a clap offering. The first point I would like to make is that there is an obligation that is required by all men and women of God, and that is to feed the church of God. The fact that some in the church might not want to receive it or hear it does not negate the responsibility required of you by God to feed the church. There is an uprise of the emergent church and the sensitive seeking church. And these are churches that do not want to hear the whole truth. They want to come into a sanctuary and they want to be told how loving God is and how he loves us. And in other words, they don't want nothing to provoke them to change. If you live in sin, you're going to stay in sin. You know, you have no desire to be changed because you're not going to be hearing that kind of truth. All you're going to hear is where God wants to take you, how he wants to bless you. And when you come out, there will be no change in your life. You don't want, they do not want to offend you. These are sensitive seeking churches. Then we have the emergent church that do not want to believe in the whole fullness of the truth. And they're kind of intertwined together. They're kind of one in the same. So here you are. And then what they do, there are churches that actually do demographics. And what they do, they send surveys out into the community, and they ask the unchurched people, what do you want in a church? What do you want in a church? And then once they give their answer, then what they try to do is meet that need. They're not concerned about the spiritual aspect of the man or woman or the child or the boy or the girl. They're only concerned about the entertainment aspect of that person. So if I can meet your need by theatrics, I'm going to make sure I'm going to have the best lights, the best sound system. I'm going to give it to you. That when you come, you're going to come back again. Yeah. So we see here, this is what the world is doing. So even though those emerging churches and those sensitive seeking churches don't want to hear the truth, we are required as men and women of God, Minister Jackatall, Minister Iredell, Pastor Kenneth, Overseer, myself, we are responsible for teaching and feeding the church of God. That's our obligation. Why is that the reason? Let's go to Acts chapter 20. Let's go to Acts chapter 20. And when you go to Acts chapter 20, in that chapter, in chapter 20, and we're going to go to verse 28. In that chapter, Paul had traveled to the church at Ephesus. And he was getting ready to tell them to prepare themselves for the different ones that are going to be coming after he leaves. He was getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And even though it had been prophesied to him that danger and hardship was going to face him, he did not care because he was only had his mind set on doing what God wanted him to do. So let's go to verse 28. It says, take heed therefore unto yourselves. And this is what he was telling the elders and the ministers. He says, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. That's why it is necessary that the man and woman of God feed the people. Feed the people. And you're not going to feed them necessarily your philosophy. You're going to feed them the word of God. Because the word of God is the only thing that's going to set them free. The Bible says that the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Say, it's so sharp that it divides asunder the spirit from the soul. I mean, that lets you know right there we are tripartite, we are triune. We know when the word can divide. I tell you, sometimes when the word comes, you get mad. Well, you're supposed to get mad because when the word comes, it's going to step on your feet, it's going to step on your toes and everything. It's going to hit you on the head, it's going to smack you upside the face because sometimes we need to make change. That's what the word of God does. When it comes, it brings conviction. When the devil comes, he tries to bring condemnation, but the word of God brings conviction. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God brings conviction. So as overseers, as ministers, we have to bring the word of God. Even though that emerging church and that sensitive seeking church don't want to hear truth, we do not compromise. We do not compromise. That's what the devil wants us to do. Look, first of all, we welcome every soul that's in every empty seat. We welcome them here. Sister, Pastor Davis was telling me how the Lord had given that to her. I said, you know, we used to do that all the time. And I don't know why we stopped. And the Lord wants us to start doing it again. I want everybody says to you, the empty seat to you says, welcome. Welcome. We welcome you here to restoration. Christian Fellowship Church, where everybody is somebody, one for all, and all for one. So they're already there in the spirit realm, but we can't see them, but now we have welcomed them. Give the Lord a hand clap. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So you see that we are obligated to teach the full word of God. And the thing about it, the reason why we should do it, because in the midst of our teaching truth, not only are the hearer going to be, will benefit, but we ourselves will benefit. Because sometimes people and leaders and teachers, they're not always right. They're going through and they are struggling through stuff, going through many things. And sometimes, but while they're teaching somebody else truth, the truth is setting them free. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have you ever witnessed to someone and encouraged someone, and the very thing that you were using to encourage them, you had to turn around and encourage yourself with the same stuff? Because the very time you try to reach out and encourage someone else, that's when the devil is mad with you because you've blessed someone. So he's going to attack you. Let me tell you, as long as you're out in the world and as long as Satan has ownership of you, you don't have no worries as far as the talk of war and the pull and the warfare that we go through. But once you decide to give your life to Christ, you're going to face all warfare, all kinds of warfare, because Satan wants to kill you. Satan doesn't want any of us to make it into heaven. I am 75 years old, be 76 in May, and Satan is after me like white on rice. He's after me like white on rice. He doesn't want me to be saved. He doesn't want me to make it in. He don't care if I lived all these years and served him. At the end, I could miss out if he could get me. That's why the word says that even the deception is so bad that in the last days, that even if the very elect can be deceived, the very elect can be deceived. Hallelujah. And the very elect, well, of course, are Israel, but then we are the elect too because we've been chosen and engrafted in. We who were once alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Hallelujah. We were once alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. Now we've been engrafted in. You know how you engraft something in? You take a little slice and you slit and you slide it in. And then whatever you have to take to hold it together. We've been engrafted in. I can tell you what holds it together. The Holy Spirit. The earnest. Oh, my goodness, the earnest price. The Holy Spirit holds us together. We've been grafted in. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. That's why it's necessary as men and women of God, in spite of all of those pressures we face as men and women of God, we have not given any of our blood to purchase a soul. Therefore, as we continue to feed the church as instructed by God without compromising, will not only benefit us, but others as well, because of the blood that Jesus paid for the church. We're going to go into 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. And it says what? Let's read it together. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Ha ha! Amen. So if you're struggling with something, because even we found out a few weeks ago from Overseer that the word was preached even with contention, but the gospel was yet preached. And people were being benefited. People benefited by the gospel because people were getting saved. The second point I want to make. When you believe and accept the death of Jesus on the cross, his burial, and his resurrection, you are accountable to every word of God that you hear. Not only does the man or woman of God in ministry has an obligation to feed the church, but you as a believer has a decision to make in light of whose servant you will choose to be. The Bible says, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22 through 24. It says, for he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You see how that interchange?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Like love and war, like love and marriage. Baby and carriage. You know, isn't that amazing how that just kind of intertwined? Oh, my. That's cause and effect.
Yeah.
That's effect and cause. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. And then it says, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called therein abide with God. Now, just to bring it up to date, all of us have friends. And sometimes we have friends that are about nothing. Do any of you know of friends that are about nothing? I know we all know people that are about nothing, no thing. So God is saying, you need to make a decision and a quality decision to make a choice to be that free man. And when you are that free man, you are now connected with Jesus Christ. He's your Lord. He's your master. He's your savior. You've made that choice rather than to be easily persuaded by your friends who are mere men that persuade you to go drink, go fornicate, go snort, or whatever. Because the Bible says all unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. So God is saying it's better off as you as a believer, once you hear the word, you are accountable to the fact that you need to make a choice. Am I going to hang with my buddies or am I going to choose to be a free man? How many of you want to be free? How many are free? How many want to be free? So all of our hands go up, all both of them. We want to be free. Satan wants to keep you bound in your spirit. And he doesn't care how he keeps you bound in your spirit. First, I can tell you how he does it. He does it through the mind. My goodness. I don't know if any have ever gone through warfare. And when you go through warfare as a believer, your mind is so tormented until you realize, wait a minute, I forgot that I have authority over every spirit that hovers over me. Sometimes, you know, have you ever woke up one day and you felt depressed and you felt lonely and you felt like you didn't have a friend in the world and the devil will have you to slide up under those covers and just cover yourself up to the shoulders and just soak in that feeling until you realize who you are and the authority that you have over that spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever been there?
Amen.
Anybody been there? I know I have. I've been there. And then I realized, wait a minute. I hear people say, good, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You get out of here and you get to going. And when you begin to take that authority that Jesus has given you, he says, I've given you the keys of the kingdom. And keys represent authority. If you need to get in your house, you have to have a key to unlock the door. And when you have the key to unlock the door, that's giving you the authority to go inside your house. Hallelujah. He says, I give you keys. I've given you authority. And then when you realize all of a sudden you get up out of the bed, you get in the shower, you get dressed, you go downstairs and you begin to start singing, you put on praise music, and all of a sudden that heaviness that was all over you is lifted. It's gone. Simply because you realize and you took authority. You used your authority. You used the keys to the kingdom. Give them a clap offering. The third point I want to consider Let us consider the cost of our redemption. Let us consider the cost of our redemption. Peter 1:18-9 says, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold." This presents the fact that the most precious commodities, silver and gold, could not redeem fallen man. From your vain conversation, and that means your vain lifestyle, received by tradition from your fathers. And that speaks of original sin that is passed on from father to child at conception. That's why the Bible says that we were conceived in iniquity. You see, we were conceived. I mean, the Catholic people are being taught that they are saved from birth. That's the error that they're in. That's the mistake that they're in, that they are saved from birth. You're not saved from birth. All of us were conceived in iniquity. But thank God that while we were yet sinners, Christ, God sent his son. Thank God the fact that even though we were separated from God because of that iniquity, we can be reconciled back to him. And when we're being reconciled back to him, when we accept his death, his burial, his resurrection, and when we do that, then we are introduced back to God by his son. Here is Imogene, who was once lost, who was once bound, and now set free. Hallelujah. Isn't that a glorious introduction? That now we can be introduced, hallelujah, back to the Father who knew us before we were even conceived. Hallelujah. He knew us before even mom and dad got together. He knew you. He said he even knew your substance. Now, you know, that is something. You think you just got here? When you were born on your birthday? No, you were here before then. You were known before then. Shoo. Hiya, talarabahosha. So we see here, but 1 Peter 18:19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things or silver and gold, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we see, let us consider now some of the benefits of the blood. Since we were bought by the blood of Jesus, let's look at some of the benefits. Life is in the blood. The Bible says, you see a person when they get cut, the minute they get cut, you need to apply pressure on that cut. And if it's anywhere near a vein, they can bleed out. And once they bleed out, they're dead. And the purpose of it is to try to tighten it so it won't bleed. Life is in the blood. Jesus gave his blood, his life. And guess what? Those of us that are born again, he now lives on the inside of us. And the blood that he shed on Calvary's cross has never lost its power. Has never lost its power and will never lose its power. He will save from the utmost to the guttermost. He can go to the richest mansion and save the most wicked person, as well as he'll go to the lowest valley, to Skid Row in New York, under a bridge, and save somebody.
Thank you, Jesus.
His blood flows. His blood flows.
Thank you.
It flows to the rich. It flows to the poor.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Aren't you glad about it? Are you glad about it?
Yes.
That his blood flows?
Hallelujah.
From the highest to the lowest, yes, to the in-between?
Yes.
Hallelujah. I'm glad about it.
Yes.
He said he'll raise you up out of the dunghill.
Yes.
He will raise you up out of the dunghill.
Yes.
And dunghill is the doo-doo. He will raise you out from that doo-doo.
Yes.
And save you to the utmost. To the utmost, Jesus saves. To the utmost, Jesus saves. He will pick you up. He will turn you around. Hallelujah. To the utmost, Jesus saves. He don't halfway do a job. You can't be halfway pregnant. You can't halfway have a disease. You either have a disease or you don't have it. To the utmost, Jesus saves. Life is in the blood. In Leviticus 17 and 11, it says, for the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. See, there has to be shedding of blood. Even in the Old Testament, there was a shadow and a type of what was to come. Blood had to always be shed. Because without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission of sin. See, in the Old Testament, what was taking place with the high chief priest was that our sins were covered. Their sins were covered. And can you imagine they only did that once a year? But let's get real now. Let's get real. Can you imagine that you asked the Lord to forgive you a year ago, and you got to go another whole year before you're forgiven? Now, let's be real. As believers, look at the times we have sinned within a year's time. Amen. Look at the time. And if Jesus were to come, we would have no hope. Aren't you glad that this is Resurrection Sunday? Aren't you glad of the fact that he rose again? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't have any hope. We would be lost. We wouldn't have any hope. We would be a people most miserable had he not rose from the dead. He arose. He arose. He rose from the dead. He arose. He arose. He arose from the dead. He arose. He arose. He arose from the dead. And the Lord shall bear my spirit on. Yes. I had to get the Sister May. See how Sister May, Lord, I needed you today. I needed the end of those words. Hallelujah. Now the blood also make us nigh by the blood. Ephesians 2:13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Number three, the blood cleanses us from sin by the blood. That's 1 John 1 and 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Number four, we are justified by the blood. Romans 5:9, it says, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Number five, we are made peace by the blood. Colossians 1 and 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So we see the benefits of the blood. Now I want to give you an exercise. I want everybody to say, the blood of Jesus.
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 Every day we need to appropriate his blood. When you find yourself in a situation and you're being tempted, maybe you're being tempted to smoke cocaine or to fornicate or whatever it is, you should say, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, if you appropriate the blood of Jesus to your life in every situation, I'm here to tell you that you don't have to worry about sin all the time. Even though we have two natures, we have the sin nature and we have the spiritual side of us. And that's always a tug of war that's going on between the spirit and the flesh. But if we can concentrate on what was done at the cross of Jesus Christ and cry out the blood of Jesus, we will be set free and we will be delivered. We have to appropriate the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, there are things that I have gone through and things that I have suffered because I forgot to even call on the blood of Jesus. Have you been there?
Yes.
Just like we forget the keys and the authority that we have, sometimes we forget to not to appropriate the blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. Life is in the blood. Hope is in the blood. Peace is in the blood. Victory is in the blood. Hallelujah. The blood, the blood. The blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. Victory in the blood. The blood. And even when you go to bed at night, it's necessary to appropriate the blood to your subconscious mind. Because the devil, if he can't get you in the, and while you're alive, I mean, while you're up and walking and doing, he would try to get you in your sleep. So then you have to learn how to appropriate the blood to your subconscious mind. So you can have a good night's rest without being disturbed by Satan. All in your sleep, messing with you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we need to, well, I'm telling you that we need to appropriate the blood of Jesus daily. And when you go to bed, which I just shared at night, appropriate his blood to your subconscious mind. If Jesus' blood redeemed us, I am certain that his blood will deliver us. According to 2 Peter 2:9, it says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, point four of my message is, as Christian believers, it is crucial that you know what you believe and in whom you believe. Nothing is new under the sun. Just as there were false prophets during the Bible days, so they are today. As I first stated about the emerging church and the sensitive seeking church being on the uprise, it's because of false prophets and preachers who are compromising the word of God to appease the hearers. In other words, you don't want to offend anyone. But until you've been provoked to change, the word don't mean anything to you, because the word sometimes can make you mad. Amen. The truth can make you mad. Have you ever been talking to a person and you know you're telling them the truth and they get hot and get mad as fire? Amen. And you know you're telling them the truth. They know it too, but they don't want to hear it. But you need to hear truth. We need to hear truth. Because when it's all said and done, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And in hell, you're going to see, feel, touch, and you're going to know. Because when the poor man died and when the rich man died and the rich man was in hell he lifted up his eyes. And this was a rich man that this old poor beggar just stayed at the gate of his house and just was begging just for the crumbs from his table. It says even the dogs had compassion on the beggar, because the beggar was out in the street. He was exposed to a lot of stuff. He had sores all over him. And the Bible says that the dogs would even lick and soothe his sores. But said one day the rich man died and one day the beggar man died. And they said the rich man went into hell, which was under the earth, Hades. And then the beggar went into the bosom of Abraham. And when that rich man lifted up his eyes in hell, he realized he was being tormented and tortured and on fire. And he said, Father Abraham, he said, please send that beggar, please send that man that he will come and dip his hand in some water and cool my parching tongue. He could see, he could feel. And Father Abraham says, look, I'm sorry, but where you are and where he is, there's a big gulf, and one can't pass from the other. He said, but Father Abraham, could you send somebody to tell my brothers, I don't want them to end up where I am. This is a place of torment. This is hell. Hell is real.
Yes, it is.
This is a place of torment. I don't want to go to hell.
Yes.
The devil doesn't care how he deceives us. As long as we end up in hell. He doesn't care. He'll jump for joy. I got her. I got him. And he says, Father Abraham, please send somebody to my house to warn my brothers not to come to this place of torment. And Father Abraham says, well, you know what? They have Moses and they have the prophets. I doubt it that if I send someone from the dead that they would even hear. Because what would happen if somebody rose from the dead to come tell them the truth, you know, they'll start running. Because they'd be scared. They'd be scared of the dead. I doubt they would hear them. He says, so they have the prophets. So now everybody that's under the sound of my voice, now you are accountable because you hear. You've said under the word. And you can hear and you can make a choice. And you can make a decision.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
There are false prophets. 2 Peter 2:1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Point 5, and this, I believe, might be my last point or next to my last point. And it states, in our scripture text, it states, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. A key word in that text is bought. It means you were bought with a price or for a price. Indicates the opposite of acquisition, meaning free of charge. Thus, the one who buys something has the full right of possession. Bought is used of the redemptive work of Christ in our scripture text, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20, and 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, 2 Peter 2, 1, Revelation 5, 9, Revelation 14, 3, and 4. The idea is that Christ paid the price required, and that price was to redeem us from the curse of the law and thus remove the sinner's responsibility to pay it. Now the second key word is glorify in my scripture text today, which means to recognize, honor, praise. Now the scripture text tells us that we are to glorify God in our body. So repeat after me, the word glorify means to recognize,
to honor, to praise.
Now, I have a question for you. When you make a decision to go out and sin, to do the wrong thing, and we know that all unrighteousness is sin. So what might be sin for me might not be sin for you. The Bible says all things are expedient, but all things are not lawful. So what I might get condemned out, convicted with, you might not. So all unrighteousness is sin. But when you get ready to sin,
And the Bible says here that, but what did I just read? The word glorify. If I was getting ready to steal, my money's funny and I'm in the grocery store and I figure I'm looking around and nobody's looking at me, I think I'll take a loaf of bread and I think I'll take some tuna fish off the shelf and I'll take a little, I'll get some carrots. I want to eat healthy. But you're stealing now.
You're stealing.
You're stealing now. Do you think that's bringing glory? So, you're not bringing glory. Every time you light up, whether it's a nicotine stick, whether it's cocaine up your nostrils, whether it's alcohol or booze, do you think that brings glory to God? So he is saying now, he possesses and he owns our bodies. He's the possessor of our bodies. And he is saying, now I want you to glorify me in your bodies. That's a requirement. If you have to go home and take a cold shower because you're so hot, you have to do it to avoid fornicating. Now, all grown folks are in here mostly. Some children are in here, but they might not even know what I'm talking about. But sometimes we have to do things to please God and to bring honor. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, I think verse 2, it says, don't do your alms before men so you can be seen. Because, I mean, you have already lost your reward. There are some people who like to be seen. There are some people that strut to be seen. There are some people who like to do all that good things before people. So they say, oh, you did that. You are somebody. Well, you've lost your reward. Because you did it before men and you did it for men. Jesus said in the book, I think it was Luke, he went into all the synagogues and he read the scripture. And as he read the scripture, it says, oh, the house glorified him. Don't you know you glorify God by hearing his word, by receiving his word? You glorify God. So he went into the synagogues and he read the word and they all glorified him. Now I want to tell you that the innate glory that was inside Jesus from the time he was born, from the time that he says, let us make man, when he died on the cross, it brought that glory that was already in him out for the world to see. Hallelujah. That he is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He glorified his Father through his obedience. And because of that, the glory now is shown to the universe. So we have to glorify God. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, and it states, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Now, let us consider how to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits. First, by presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. B, by not yielding your members to unrighteousness. And C, must learn to control your appetites. Romans 12:1, presenting your body as a living sacrifice, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you, stinking thinking will get you nowhere. And then you have to renew your mind every day. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. If you're thinking you're nothing, if you're thinking that you're defeated, if you're thinking that you'll never make it, the devil is a liar. You have to see yourself where you're going.
where you want to go and where God has taken you. You can't focus on where you are right now. But if you begin to renew your mind daily and see yourself where God has taken you, the key is that if you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything will be added to your life. I heard Pastor Kenny talk about the fact that God has a plan for your life. He has a expected end for each of us. And I really believe if we put him first, we will find out that expected end is going to come sooner than you thought. Because you decide to serve him. Number B, under not yielding your members to unrighteousness. Romans 6:13, verse 16 and verse 19 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Verse 16, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, my Lord. In verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. And this is what's wrong with the emergent church and the sensitive seeking church. When they hear the word sanctified or holiness, they get paranoia. They think you got to look a certain way. You can't wear no makeup. You got to have a nappy head. You have to whatever. Everything has to be. So, I mean, we need to dress in moderation. All that is good. That will come in time and in its place. But God is saying that he's looking for holiness. He's looking for holiness. And then we have to learn to control your appetites. Sometimes you have to say to the body, no.
Amen.
Everybody let's do this. No.
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 You won't go back for that extra pie. No.
No.
You won't go for that drink.
No.
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 You won't gossip about your friends. No. You won't gossip about your enemies. No.
No.
No. You have to tell that body, no.
No.
You can't every appetite you get, oh, you got this urge, oh, you want this, oh, you got to learn self-control.
Yeah.
Yeah. Self-control. Yeah. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 13 and verse 20, it says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. For ye are bought, what? With a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, all of this can be done. Say, neighbor, all of this can be done. Okay. And it can be done when we trust in the precious blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross. You must believe in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You must apply and appropriate his shed blood daily, for his blood has never lost its power. It reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. You must remember that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus became poor in order that you could become rich. You must learn to walk in the spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You must remember to repent quickly. Say, neighbor, when you sin,
repent
quickly. and utilize God's grace. Now, as an acronym, the word grace means, just visualize G-R-A-C-E as an acronym. And it means God's riches at Christ's expense. The price paid for your soul. Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Did you want me to preach some more? Everybody looked like they didn't know what to say or do. I know the word has come forth. Nobody acted like they knew what to do. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Or you want more? You just want more. Let us stand to our feet. I'm just straight up.
Yes.
I just tell it like it is. I mean, it's all good. And nothing, you didn't do anything wrong. But sometimes when you hear the word like that, you can't do nothing but sit. When you, his word is powerful.
Yes.
We've heard truth today.
Yes.
We've heard things that can set us free, the word that can set us free.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Every head bowed, every eye closed.
Thank you.